Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel, Le'ilui Nishmas Menachem Meir ben Naftali, and Esther bas David.
Sukkah daf Yutes. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana dekom Maseches al Gabi Achsadra she'en lo p'tzimen. Rav Ashi found Rav Kahana, he was being Maseches on top of an Achsadra she'en lo p'tzimen, which we already learned is Machloikes Abaye and Rava. Rava holds it's no good. So the Gemara said, Amar lei, loy sover mar, hod amar Rava, yesh lo p'timin k'cheira, ein lo p'timin besula. Don't you hold like Shitas Rava that without p'timin, the sukkah is no good? Achvi lei, he showed him nira mi befnim v'shava mi bechutz, inami nira mi bechutz v'shava mi befnim. He showed him that there was an amud that was a tefach wide. Either it was nira mi befnim, you could see it from the inside of the sukkah, you couldn't see it from the outside of the sukkah. Or else the Gemara says that you could see it from the outside, but not from the inside. The itmar nirim b'chutz v'shavim b'fnim nida mishem lechi. Now, a case of nirim b'fnim v'shavim b'chutz, we could understand why that's a sukkah k'sheira, because you need shnayim kilchos and a shlish safilu tefach, and this would work as your third mechitza. However, if it was nira mibachutz v'shavim mibefnim, that means that the sukkah on the inside does not really have three walls. There's only something on the outside. So bishlama le'inyan lechi, that's k'sheira, because a lechi is mishem heker. So b'nei rishis harabim, as they're coming into the mavoi, they see something unusual. Even though it's only nira mibachutz, you could see it when you're coming in from the outside. You can't see it from the inside of the mavoi. It doesn't make a difference because there's enough of a heker for the b'nei rishis harabim. However, when it comes to kashering a sukkah needs to have three walls. So Tosfos in the Ramaschal Achvile brings this question: Tema, heich hu moyo besukkah? How does it help by sukkah? Kivin d'loy minkar mibefnim shlishis shel tefach. The third wall, which is allowed to be a tefach, has to be at least near mibefnim. Tosfos suggests that maybe we mean because of migu. Tosfos says the imishem migu. If we mean because of migu, what does Tosfos mean? Tosfos is making a reference to the Gemara and of Zion. Over there, the Gemara says that if you're mesachich al gavi mavui sheyesh loy lechi, if you put your schach on top of a mavui that has a lechi, then it's kosher, because we say a svara migu davi doifin le'inyan Shabbos, since the lechi has a shame doifin le'inyan Shabbos, so it also has a shame doifin le'inyan sukkah. However, that's only true on Shabbos in the middle of Sukkot. The rest of Sukkot, it's not kshera. So that's why Tosfos says the imishem migu, if we mean because of the din of migu chadon. Number one, the Atumili of Rav Kahana sukkah ela b'Shabbos. Did Rav Kahana only make a sukkah for Shabbos? He came to visit him and wanted to look at his sukkah. He showed him a sukkah that would have only been k'sheira on Shabbos. It doesn't make sense. V'oid the l'shlishis dayraisa le'mahanim migu k'depreshes la'el. What Tosfos is referencing is what they say on the Zayin Amabez in Dibar Maschul Sichich. Tosfos asks Akasha that it doesn't make sense because the din of Lechi is only a din d'rabbanan. Sukkah is din d'iraisa. For Sukkah, you need Mechitzas d'iraisa. How could you make a migu from something that works on a d'rabbanatika level? Tosfos over there answers that we're actually not talking about being machshir the sukkah on a d'iraisa level. We're talking where there is a lechi that is a tefach thick. However, there's a special din, even so, that you're supposed to be mamidei b'pachas migimul samach l'doifin to make it like four tefachim, and that's only a din d'rabbanan. Ligabe, that din d'rabbanan, we accept the fact that you're doing on Shabbos, on a mavi sheyesh b'lei lechi, that you are, and we're talking about a lechi that has a tefach, and therefore it works with the din of migu. So you see from that, says Tosfos, that there is no migu that works to be machshir something that's a deraisa ticket requirement. The same thing over here says that nira mibachutz v'shavim efnim would not be able to help me. Now Rashi in Dibra Maschil Nidim Mishim Lechi definitely does not seem to learn that we're talking about on Shabbos and using the svara of migu, because Rashi says Nidon mishem lechi, v'hocha nami nidon mishem doifin. Hocha nami means that just like over there in Hilchus Shabbos, the case of nira mibachutz v'shavim mibefnim, or vice versa, works is nidon mishem lechi. Hocha nami over here also in Hilchus Sukkah nidon mishem doifin. If Rashi would mean because of the svara of migu, he would say that since it works mishem lechi, he would say memela. Therefore, it works over here mishem doifin. Hocha nami means that here also it works mishem doifin, just like over there it works mishem lechi. But on that we have Tosfos' kasha. How is it possible for it to work Mishum Doifin. Now, the way we explained Tosfos Kasha earlier is that Tosfos understands that the whole idea of lechi, the reason why it works when it's nira mibachutz and it's shavu mibefnim, is because lechi is mishum heker. So it's a heker for the B'nai Rishus HaRabim. Now, there is a mandiyamar that says lechi mishum mechitza. So perhaps you see from there that even when something is not just for a heker, it's for mishum mechitza, it has to be considered closed on the fourth side, and still it works when it's nira mibachutz v'shavu mibefnim. So the Chazon Ish in Arachayim, Simen Ayin Dalet, explains that Tosfos still has a kasha, because even though the din of lechi, according to one madyamer, is mishum mechitza, nevertheless, there's a big difference between hilchus mechitza that you need for Shabbos and hilchus doifin that you need for Sukkah. The difference between a mechitza and a doifin is that the function, we've mentioned this a number of times in our shiurim, that the function of a mechitza is to be chaytze, it's between the outside and the inside, in order to keep people out. Because the concept of mechitzas in Hilchus Shabbos is to make it separate from the Rishus HaRabim. So as long as it's a separation between the Rishus HaRabim and the Rishus HaYachid, that's enough. Masha'en kein sukkah, you need more than mechitza, you need a doifin. A doifin is focused inward, not as a chatzitza between the outside and the inside. Rather, it is a mechanism that makes the inside feel closed in. Now, if you need the inside to feel closed in, then it doesn't help me if something is nira mibachutz, v'shav. So one teretz to the kasha is found in the Rush. The Rush explains that really Rava, who says that it's no good when you have an aksadra she'ein lo p'tzimin, lo'olam Rava holds that on a derais level it's kosher. And that's because really Rava does agree to the dinner p'tikri yoyer v'soysim. And since he holds p'tikri yoyer v'soysim, your sukkah midaraisa is totally kosher. The only thing is that midrabanan Rava is not happy with enacting a din of p'tikri yoyer v'soysim because people don't realize it. And therefore he says you should add a mechitza. So for that din drabanan, it would help, just like legabe lechi, the din of nirim mibafnim v'shavim bachutz, or nirim mibachutz v'shavim bifnim works. Another teretz that the Rosh gives is that la'olam, we're talking about a case where Rav Kahana made a tzuras pesach aside from the tefach that he was nira mibachutz v'shavim b'fnim. He also made a tzuras pesach because Rav Kahana's l'shitasai that he says on Dav Zayin that you need to also have a tzuras pesach in addition to the shlishis afilu tefach. Since he made a tzuras pesach, so midaraisa tzuras pesach works because all over tzuras pesach is considered like a mechitza. And the fact that you also have to add a tefach is only a din drabanan, and therefore, since the nirim eftim v'shavim v'chutz or vice versa helps le'inyan erivin, so it also helps le'inyan sukkah. The Gemara brings down a brisa. Tana pesel hayoytze min hasukkah nidoin kesukkah. Kosher eschach that yoytze from the sukkah is considered, is judged, is nidoin like the sukkah. What does it mean? My pesel hayoytze min hasukkah. So Ula says, "Konam hayoytzim lachari sukkah," which means, imagine you have three walls, and you put schach on top of your three walls. Past the middle wall, you have schach protruding outside your sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Well, you don't have shalosh tefana surrounding that area that's covered by the excess schach." The Gemara says, "Bidei ikra." Well, you do have three walls surrounding it. Gemara says, "Vabeiran hechsher sukkah." You need hechsher sukkah. It has to be zayin al zayin. Bidei ikra. Well, you need tzilsim rub mechamosa. Gemara says, "Bidei ikra." Yachi ma'ilu member. So then, what's the chiddush? The Gemara says, "Maude teima hoyil ul gavoy avidi luvroy loy avidi." Since the mechitza, which means the middle mechitza, was really made for your larger sukkah, the inside, and not for the outside, which is the area that you're using your excess schach to make a new sukkah for, so that wasn't made for that area, aim aloy, that it doesn't work. Now, why would I have thought that this is no good? After all, we learned in our Mishnah that if you have an achsadra surrounding the inside of a chatzar, we use the walls of the house, which are made for the inside of the house, to function as walls to my sukkah. So you already see from a Mishnah that you don't need the walls to have been constructed for the area that you're using for your sukkah. Even if they were constructed for a different area, they still are used as the walls for this sukkah. Tosfos asks this question in Dibra Maschil Levroi Le'avidi. They bring down Rashi, V'kashet, Dibi Masnisin, Shamin, Le'i, the kasher. You see from the Mishnah, from Chatzar, Mekev, Zach, Sadra. So the Ritva also asked this question, and he gives a teretz. He says, Yeshloimer shiny hasam, shehem mechitza shel binyan keva, v'dayte behu akol mili. The case of chatzar, amukevas achsadra, is different in that the mechitzas that you're using are mechitzas of a permanent structure. They're mechitzas of a house. And since they're mechitzas of a house, the das of a person is to use them akol mili, for all purposes. We find that the derech is sometimes for a person to hang things on the walls outside of his house. And so that was the person's original intention. Avo b'mechitza sukkah shehem arai, when you have non-permanent, you have temporary mechitzas, then have a salkadait and lemahani yavidin l'sukkah achriti. I would think that they're not good if they're being used for a different sukkah. Kamash b'lon, so that's why the Gemara has to bring this braisa to tell me that even when it's a diris arai, when the mechitzas were made for a diris arai, it still works when they were made for the inside, when you want to be using them for the outside. Another teretz to this kasha is given by the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says that in the case of the Chatzar Mukevas Achsadra, it may be true that the ikar purpose of the walls of the bayis were the inside of the bayis, but you see that there's an awning, there's an achsadra that surrounds the Chatzar, and it's clear that in terms of the achsadra, the purpose of the wall is to serve as walls to the achsadra as well. In our case, the wall was only made for one purpose, to serve as a wall for the inside. Now the Aruch Liner gives a very interesting answer. First, the Aruch Liner says that it's not such a terrible question because, after all, many times the Braisa is mechadish things that it says already in the Mishnah. However, the Aruch Liner says that you can give another teretz. He says it may be true that the mechitzas of the bayis, originally when they were constructed to service the house on the inside, but that's not really what concerns us. What concerns us is what happened when you placed your schach on top of the chatzar. Then your intention was to access the mechitzas of the bayis and make them part of your sukkah. So the shame doifen happens b'shas when you put the schach there. Then you're putting the schach, you're being the schach on a place, then it's clear that you're using the area that is surrounded by the walls of the bayis. So the schach is kaveya that those are mechitzas for your sukkah. Masha'en kein, in our case, when you place the schach on top of your sukkah, you had absolutely no intention that the wall should service the outside of the sukkah. It should only service the inside of the sukkah. So le'olam, we never had a havamina that walls have to be made for this area, at least not after we learned about chatzar mekevas achsadra. But we would have had a havamina that your schach could be keveya what the purpose of your wall is. Because part of the hechsher sukkah, when you put the schach there, is to ensure that there are walls there before the schach. So are you being mesachech on a place that's surrounded with mechitzas or not? Kamash b'lon, that even that doesn't matter. However, Tosfos, based on this kasha, learns differently than Rashi. Tosfos and other Rishonim learn that when we say legavoy avidi, it was made for the inside, levroy le avidi, we're not referring to the wall at all. We're referring to the schach. The purpose of the schach was to be mesachech on the inside. The chelik of the schach that's protruding outside your sukkah was never made l'shem tzel. And that havamina makes a lot of sense, because we know that one of the things you need in schach that should be made l'shem tzel. Now the question though is, what's the kamash b'lon? It's such a good taina that we have to figure out, why is it not true? And essentially there are two ways to understand the chiddush of the Gemara and the kamash b'lon. And the Sfasemis brings this down as two tzdadim. Number one, you can understand that since you put the kanim down l'shem tzel on the inside, we look at these whole kanim as being l'shem tzel, so that helps even for the outside. That's one way to understand the chiddush of the Gemara. The second way to understand is that this is a special chiddush of the din of pesel ayotze min ha-sukkah, that since it's tuffel to the sukkah, there's a special halacha that anything that is protrusion from my sukkah and is kashrus chach has its kashrus of a sukkah. The nafkamina, says the Sfasemis, is what would happen if a person used wood to be mesachach on top of a bayis. After he was mesachach on top of the bayis, he put maziva on top of it. So now it's a regular roof. However, those kanim that he used, the wood that he used to be mesachach on top of his house, also has somewhat of protrusion, and you want to be mishtamish with the protrusion to create a sukkah on the outside of your house. So if you learn that the reason why over here in our Gemara it's kosher is because the moment you put something l'shem tzel, we look at the whole cheftza as being l'shem tzel, even the part that's protruding. So then, l'gabei a house, the same thing would be true because you put that wood l'shem tzel. If it's part of the chiddush of Pesach al Yotzei min HaSukkah, that anything that's a protrusion from a kasher sukkah gets the kashrus of that sukkah, provided that it has kasher walls and it's the kasher shear, then you wouldn't be able to say by a bias, because the bias on the inside is not a kasher sukkah. The Gemara brings down another mahalach, how to explain the braisa of Pesach al Yotzei min HaSukkah. Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Amri Tervayu, Hacha Bekanim, Ayotzim Lifnim min HaSukkah. We're not talking like the last mahalach that the kanim are yotzim me'achori asukah, outside your third wall. Rather, they're yotzim lefnim in asukah. They extend beyond the confines of the walls of my sukkah. And there is also one wall that continues alongside those kanim that are protruding and extending beyond the kashas of the sukkah. So, ma'uritema ha lespa hechsher sukkah. I may think that the area to which these kanim extend themselves doesn't have a hechsher sukkah over there, kamash balon, that it's kosher. Now, what exactly is meant by the fact that I would say that that's not a kosher sukkah? If you look at the entire sukkah, you see there are three walls. Rashi explains that since there is only one wall that extends itself, and the other wall does not extend together with the kanim, I would look at that chelik as being an independent sukkah, and it doesn't have three walls around it. The second wall does not extend together with or parallel to the first wall. Mukhech milsa, Rashi says, the ba'ape nafshahi, that it stands on its own. It's not a kosher sukkah. Now, what does he mean? What makes it that the person has shown that he's considering this part of the sukkah as being a separate entity? The Rashi explains that since you have one wall that doesn't extend and the other wall does, it looks like the person was megaladas that it's considered a separate place. In the Sefer Rishon LeTzion, he goes so far as to say that really the case is that you made a Tzuras HaPesach, meaning where your first wall, the shorter wall, ends, then you made a Tzuras HaPesach, you put a post over there on that side, and then another post on the parallel wall, the one that's extending together with the Schach that extends beyond the Sukkah, you made a Tzuras HaPesach there, so that clearly marks it off as its own separate place. The Meiri says that in such a case, that for sure would be called a sukkah nefredis, and you would not be able to be machshir the other part of the sukkah. However, that's the way that he learns, and the Sfasemis learns that we're talking about that at the point where your short wall ends, you also have the shlish sefil tefach right over there. So that's another way to be megaladas, that the person really ended his sukkah over here, and the part that extends itself beyond the sukkah is considered a separate place. Now, what's the kamash balon in this case? Rashi says kamash balon de min hasukahu v'avik kishtayim kil chasun ushlish safilu tefach, meaning to say that the moment we say that the person did not intentionally separate this part of the sukkah from the rest of the sukkah, then we could actually look at the entire sukkah all together as being no different than shtayim kil chasun ushlish safilu tefach. Because if you think about it, what is the case of shtayim kil chasun ushlish safilu tefach? You have one wall and another wall, those two are in an L shape, and then after that wall you have one, the third wall that goes only a tefach, so it's not as long as the one that's parallel to it. Over here also, it's the same exact shape as the Shnayim Kil Chasun or Shlish Safilu Tefach, and even better than it, because the third wall, which is the smaller wall, is much more than a mere tefach. Nevertheless, the structure looks exactly like that case, and then we're machshir the entire schach as a schach that has the right amount of walls around it. Now, lefi this, it would come out that there really is no yisoid called Pesel HaYotzim in HaSukkah Nidin Kesukkah. It's not a Pesel HaYotzim in HaSukkah. This is your sukkah. If you look at the entire sukkah as one large entity, it has three walls. It is for this reason that the Aruch Liner and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph explains B'Das Rashi. Rashi over there is muchach that you wouldn't really need the third wall to be nimshach after the rest of the schach that's protruding out. And the Aruch Liner says it's mukhach from our Gemara that that's the case. And he explains that what Rashi over here means, when he says that it's like a shnayim kil chasun ushlish safilu tefach, he just means that you shouldn't look at the protrusion, the schach that's leaving the sukkah, as a separate makam by itself. Rather, you should view it as all part of one sukkah and pretend like the wall that's extending itself beyond is considered one of my walls that's attached to the sukkah. But even if you didn't have that wall, says the Aruch Liner, the Shitas Rashi is that it would work. And now we have a real yesod called Pesel HaYotzei Min HaSukkah Nidin Kesukkah. Because even if that wool would not follow the tzchach that's protruding out, it still would be kosher. So you have a yisoid that says when tzchach extends beyond a sukkah, there's a din of a pesel yoytzim in a sukkah is nida in kesukkah. However, if you take a look at the Korban Sanal over here in Oiskot and Vav, he argues on this Aruch Liner. The next mahaloch in the Gemara is Rabbi Bar Bar Chana b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, who says leNitzchar leSukkah sheRuba tzilsim ruba mechamasa. Most of the sukkah is more shade than sun. Umiyuta, and a smaller portion of the sukkah is chamasa meruba metzilasa. Maude tema tipasal b'hach porta. I may think that that chelik of the sukkah, the miut that is chamasa meruba metzilasa, would passel the sukkah. Kamashbalan that it doesn't. The Ran here is mechadish, that this chelik in the sukkah, which is chamasa meruba metzilasa, doesn't passel the sukkah only if that chelik of the sukkah is less than the shir hechsher sukkah, is less than zayin al zayin. But if that part of the sukkah that has chamasa meruba metzilasa is zayin al zayin, then we dan that part of the sukkah as its own entity, and we don't look at it in the context of the rest of the sukkah. The only reason why the Kamash Balan here in the Gemara is that it doesn't pass the sukkah is because we have to look at the overall picture. But we only look at the overall picture, says the Ran, if this chelik is an insignificant chelik, and we could say that it's tuffle to the rest of the sukkah. The moment that a zayin al zayin, then we don't say that. And the Ran even has that as part of the girsa of the Gemara. When he quotes the Gemara as saying that we're talking about a sukkah sheruba tzilasim ruba chamasa umiyuta chamasim ruba tzilasa, he explains ma'uritema hai luchudei koi v'hai luchudei koi. I may think that this part of the sukkah stands by itself, and this part of the sukkah stands by itself, and therefore the part that has chamasim ruba mitzilasa is no good. Kamash balon, obviously, that we don't say hai luchudei koi v'hai luchudei koi. We don't say that you look at each part individually. Says the Ran, this that you don't look at each part individually is only where it's possible to see it as one big picture. But if you have that chelik is zayin al zayin, then already it is seen as luchudei koi. Now the Ramah in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Aleph Siv Beis is actually machmir like this Ran lahalacha. And the Prima Gadim adds that if Lu Yitzuyer, that part of the sukkah, which is Chamasa Meruba Metzilasa, is near the Doifin, and it extends Kol Oirech HaDoifin, meaning that the entire length of one of the Defanas has near it this Chelik of sukkah, which is no good, then, he says, you have to understand that that would passel your sukkah, because then it would be considered as if you're lacking one of the Defanas. Because that doifen that's near the chelik of the sukkah, which is no good, is separated from the rest of the sukkah. Because we say, hai luchudei koi, v'hai luchudei koi. However, not everybody is in agreement with the chiddush of the Ran. The Meiri actually argues, and he says, you always look at the sukkah as one big picture. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that since none of the other Rishonim or Poskim paskin like this Ran, you could be mekel. The next mahalach in the Gemara is Rav Oishia. He says that we're talking about schach pasul that's less than shloisha tfachim in a sukkah ketana, and it's still nidin kesukkah. Rav Oishia asks on this mahalach, lo yehi ela avir, why would I think that there's a special chiddush of pesel yoytzim in a sukkah nidin kesukkah? Why should I think that it's any worse than avir? Avir that's less than three tfachim in a sukkah ketana doesn't pasul. And after all, Avir is more chomer than Schach Pasol. It has a smaller shear. Schach Pasol is Pasol bar bat tfachim. Avir is Pasol b'shloishet tfachim. Nevertheless, even though Avir is more chomer, but it's still kosher when it's pachas b'shloishet. So the same thing should be true with Schach Pasol. The Gemara answers, this is mitzarif, and you could sleep underneath it. V'zem mitzarif v'ein yishenim tachtov. Now there's Machlois Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. The way that Rashi understands is that when we say Yishenim Tachtav, we're referring to Schach Pasol. Schach Pasol is Nida in Kesukah, because it's Pesel HaYotzim in HaSukah, and when it's less than three Tfachim, you're allowed to sleep underneath the Schach Pasol. Masha'en Kein Avir, Rashi says that Avir Pachas Mishloisha is Mitztarif to Yimashlim, the Shir HaSukah, but you're not allowed to sleep underneath that Avir. Now, what is the reason for this difference? Why is it that Schach Pasol is mitzarf and you're allowed to sleep underneath, and Avir is Pasol but you're not allowed to sleep underneath it? So the Taz in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Beis, Sifkat and Dalid, says, nearly hatam, The reason why we treat aver differently than schach pasul is because sheba aver nira la'ayin tfei ha-hefzik b'schach mimashe nira b'schach pasul. When you look at it, you could tell the difference much more by aver than by schach pasul. And the Aruch Lener over here expounds on this. He says, Lavud loishayach rakechi de'ein haichacha negdei. The only time you could say lavud is when there's no haichacha against it. But if there is a haichacha against the lavud, it's not shayach to say lavud. He says it's similar to the idea that bitul b'roiv we never say when it's nikker the iser. Suppose a piece of iser falls into a large taruvis. If you could see the iser, it's not bitul b'roiv. Similarly, he says over here that you don't say lavud in as much as it's nikker that there's aver. So, in as much as we're using the lavud to be machshir the entire sukkah, that the aver should not be considered a hefzik, there's no real haichacha against it. Because when you look at the entire schach, you don't notice that there's aver being mafzik. But if the person is sitting directly underneath that aver, the sun is shining on him. How can you say lavud says that there's no aver there? There is aver. Masha Enkin, when it's chach pasul on top of him, it's not as nikker. And therefore, we are machshir it based on the rule that the schach pasul is batal agabe the schach kosher. So that's how the Aruch Lener seems to understand the Taz. Another mahalach we could say, al pi the levush. The Taz over there brings down in Sivkot and Gimel the levush, which he argues on. The levush says that the reason why you're allowed to sleep underneath the schach pasul is because of the din bittel that we just mentioned. That we always say that when Isser gets mixed into Heter, the Isser is butl in the Heter, and it's Nishapech, Lies Heter, says the Levush, since the Schach Pasul is a Dover Mu'at, it's Kemanda Lesse Domi. It's butl, Ligabi the Schach Kosher. Every Isser is butl, so too this. The Taz asks on him that you can't really apply the principle called Bittl, because it's Nicker, you could see the Schach Pasul. Bittl you only say when it's not possible to identify the Isser. The fact that the Aruch Lener applied the idea of Bittl was as a borrowed concept. He said it's similar to that din, but the Levush is actually using the din Bittl. He says that Schach Pasul that's inside your Schach Kosher is butl. Now, how could it be butl? It's totally recognizable. You could see the schach pasul. So the Acharonim say that the shita of the levush is that even when something is nikker midai raisa, it's batal. Because since they're all part of one big metzias, then the miut is batal to the roiv. The roiv is dominant. Now that's all true legabe schach pasul being mixed together with schach kosher. Because then we look at the entire schach as being one entity, and the roiv is dominant and mevatel the miut. However, legabe avir is not a part of your schach. It's not like you could look at it as a chelik of my roof and say that the miut avir is batel in the roiv schach. Because avir is not schach at all. It's a space in your schach. You may tell me that space doesn't bother me to passel my schach, but you can't tell me that it becomes batal to the schach. Even the Levush understands when something is not a chelik of my taruvus, it cannot become batal. So something that's a chelik of my taruvus, the Levush holds that even when it's nikker, it's still nisapech, it's batal to the roiv heter, because it's a chelik of the same metzias. But something that's not part of the taruvus, it's impossible for it to become batal. Now, till now, we've been explaining Shitas Rashi, who understands that when the Gemara says, Zem Itztarev, Yishenim Tachtov, Zem Itztarev, Ve'en Yishenim Tachtov, the Kavana is that the Schach Pasul is Mitztarev and you could sleep underneath it, and the Avir is Mitztarev, Ve'en Yishenim Tachtov, you can't sleep underneath it. Tosfos, however, learns the exact opposite. Because Tosfos has various problems with the way that Rashi is learning. Number one, if Reb Oshia meant to say that schach pasul, you're allowed to sleep underneath it when it's less than 3 tefachim, then why did he have to say dafka by a sukkah ketana? He could have said the same thing by a sukkah gedola, that there's a special chiddush that when you have schach pasul less than 3 tefachim, you're allowed to sleep underneath it. Furthermore, he asks that usually we consider avir that's less than 3 tefachim as if it's sasim, as if it's closed up by they love it. And as if it's closed up, you should be able to sleep underneath it. Mashenkin schach pasul, which is less than 3, it's not shaykh to make it kisasim. Of course, that's going like the Shita, the Loi Kedivri HaRajba, that we mentioned on Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Zayin, who holds that Tzchach Pasul, that's less than 3 tefachim, is considered like it's not there, and let's sauce him with Tzchach Kosher. Also, Tosfos says, practically speaking, how is it possible to be Nizer in a sukkah that's full of holes that you'll never be sleeping Keneged Hanukkavim? It doesn't make sense. So Tosfos learns the opposite. Tosfos learns that Avir is mitzar v'yishenim tachtiv. You're allowed to sleep underneath the Avir. V'zem mitzar v'en yishenim tachtiv goes on schach pasul. So the Hesber in Tosfos' Shita, to be mechalak between two, is very simple. Avir is considered like it's sosom, that's why you're allowed to sleep underneath it, because it's like it's closed up, it's chach kosher. Masha'enke, it's chach pasul, is not considered kisosom the way they understand. It's just that it's too small of a shear to pasul your sukkah, but even so, you can't sleep underneath that chach pasul, because you're not allowed to sleep underneath anything but chach kosher. Tosfos then brings a Yerushalmi in Brachis that's mashma like Rashi, not like their Shita. The Lashon of the Yerushalmi is Mahu Lishan Tachtav, is referring to Avir. And the Yerushalmi answers that there's a raya from Titanirik, as we'll soon see in our Gemara, that this is a substance that's Mashlam, the mikvah, but you can't be toivel in it itself. And Afacha says the Yerushalmi, Mashlam b'sukkah ve'en yishenim tachtav. So the question Tos is asking on themselves is that you see, like Rashi Shita, that the Avir, it doesn't pass the sukkah, but you can't sleep underneath the Avir. The way Tois understands, you could sleep underneath the Avir. How are we to be miyashiv Toisvis from the Yerushalmi? So if you take a look at the Yerushalmi, the Lashon of the Yerushalmi is that we're talking about Avir when the person was hirchik hasichuch min adefanes shloshet fachim psula pachas mikan ksheira. We're talking about where the Avir is situated. It is on the edge of my sukkah, on the end next to the defanes. You were just marchik the defanes, not three tefachim from your schach. The case that we're talking about in our Gemara, where Tosfos says you're allowed to sleep underneath it, is when the avir is in the middle of my schach. So it's possible that when you have a space in between your schach, it's sandwiched on both sides with schach, then we say that it's considered kisosum from schach kosher. Masha'en kein, when it's next to the doifin, we already expressed on daf yud ches, that one way to look at lavud is that it's as if the doifen is pushed up against my schach. And even if you consider kisosim, it could be that it's sosim with doifen, not that it's sosim with schach kosher. Only when it's sandwiched on both sides with schach kosher do we say that it's sosim, it's like it's sosim with schach kosher. So that's why in the case of the Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to sleep underneath it, because it's not considered sosim with schach kosher. Masha'enkin, in our case, since it's in the middle, in between schach kosher on both sides, you're allowed to sleep underneath it because it's considered kisosim with schach kosher. Now the Gemara continues with the question, and obviously this question, is how you understand the question, is going to be dependent on the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how you learned the step before. The Gemara says, is there anything that we know about that could be mitzarif to something, but it itself is not kosher? What is the question being asked from? So according to Tosfos, we're asking about Tzchach Kosher, because we just said that Tzchach Kosher is mitztarif to the kashrus of the sukkah, but you can't sleep underneath it. So how could you have a matzav where it's being used to be mitztarif, but you can't sleep underneath it? However, according to Rashi, theoretically, we should be asking a question on Avir, because according to Rashi, it's Avir that you're not allowed to sleep under, and nevertheless, it's mitztarif to my sukkah. However, the problem is in the way Rashi learns the next step of the Gemara. Because in answer to this question, the Gemara says that we have a raya from something called Tit Hanirik. Tit Hanirik is a mud-like substance which is very liquidy, and it is so liquidy that you could pour it. And the din is that it's mitztarif l'arboim saw. It could be mitztarif to 40 saw, but v'hatoivel boi lo'yosu lo'y tvila. Somebody who's toivel in it, it doesn't work. The tefillah is no good. Now, the problem is as follows. Tosfos learns this din of Tit HaNiroik to be exactly the way we just described schach pasul according to Tosfos. Namely, that it's mitztarif to a mikveh. While it's inside that mikveh, your mikveh is kosher because it's considered like it has 40 saw. But in that part itself, the Tit HaNiroik itself, you're not allowed to be toivel. And that's exactly the way Tosfos understands schach pasul. It's mitztarif to your sukkah. It's considered like you have a kosher sukkah, but that part of the sukkah, you're not allowed to sleep underneath. So according to Tosfos, we started off by saying that schach pasul is mitztarif ve'en yishenim tachtav, and our question mi'ika midi is, do you ever have something that could be machsher the entire picture, but nevertheless it itself remains pasul? And the answer is yes, you see that there is such a thing. We have a model for such a thing in Tit HaNiroik. However, according to Rashi, if you look at Rashi in Debra Maschil v'hatoivel boy, he says that when we say Tit HaNiroik is mitztarif l'arboim sa, it's mitztarif to 40 sa v'hatoivel boy loy also loy tefillah, it means that somebody who would be toivel in titanirik, when the entire mikveh is comprised of titanirik, then also tefillah, then it doesn't work. And he brings a Mishnah in Mikvahs that says that there are certain substances, one of them is titanirik, that is able to be mashlam a mikvah. It could be part of a mikvah, make it kosher, but it itself, when you put the entire mikvah, you create a mikvah out of titanirik, then it's no good. Now Tosfos asks, wait a minute, you Rashi should be understanding that we're trying to bring a raya to Avir, because Rashi's opinion was that Avir is the thing that we said that is mitztarif but ein yishenim tachtov. Now, how is this a raya to Avir? According to the way Rashi is understanding the din of titanirik, when it is mitztarif to the mikvah, you could be toivel in the titanirik itself. The only problem that you have is that when the entire mikvah is comprised of titanirik, then you can't be toivel in it. So that would be similar to saying that Avir is mitztarif, and you could sleep underneath it when it's inside a sukkah gdoila, but when the entire roof is made out of Avir, then you can't use it. Well, that's obvious. So we don't have a raya to the din that we're trying to prove. We're trying to prove that even though it's inside the sukkah and it's machshir the sukkah, you can't sleep underneath it. So Tosfos really asks this kasha on Rashi in the Ramascha Titanirik Yechiach. What type of Yechiach is it? So we have to say that Rashi understands the Gemara differently. Rashi understands that the Gemara, when it said mi'ika midi, is there something that it's mitztarif, but v'hu atzmei enei kasher, the Gemara doesn't mean to say, according to Rashi, that could you have a matzav like Avir, which is mitztarif to be machshir the sukkah, yet you can't sleep underneath it. That doesn't bother the Gemara according to Rashi, and for good reason. Because like we explained, it's not as if the Avir is really being mitztarif to be machshir my sukkah. The Avir itself is not part of my schach. It may not passel the sukkah because it's not a big enough vashir, but it itself is not kosher. So that wouldn't bother us. What then is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question, even according to Rashi, is on schach passel. Now, what's the question? We said, according to Rashi, that schach passel, not only is it mitztarif, but you're even yishenim tachtav. You're allowed to sleep underneath it. The teretz is that the kasha, according to Rashi, is mi'ika midi. Do you have something that in the context of the schach, it's kosher and you could sleep underneath it? But it itself, meaning when it's by itself, if you would only have schach passel, then it would be passel. So how could you have something that, objectively speaking, it's considered no good, and if you would make your whole roof out of it, then it would be no good? Masha'en came when it's mitztarif, when it's part of a roof full of schach kosher, then it's mitztarif. How could you have such a thing? And on that, the Gemara proves from titanirik that you see that if you would make a whole mikvah out of titanirik, then you wouldn't be able to be toivel in it. And yet, when it's together with other water that is kosher, then it's mitztarif. The Mishnah says, Ha'oseh sukasai kemin tzrif. So if you have a sukkah with a slanted roof, and that's all it has, there are no walls, it just has a slanted schach, and that serves as being both the wall and the roof, because it's like a tent, or you're samech it diagonally against the kaisel, so it's like a half a tent, then Reb Lezer holds it's puzzle because it doesn't have a gag. The Gemara says that Reb Lezer is moid, the Gemara brings a braisa, Tana moid Reb Lezer, shem higbiya min hakarka tefach, o shefliga min hakaisel tefach, sheikshera. According to Rashi, what this means is that if you slightly raise the bottom of your tzrif, then it's clear that the tzrif is a gag, because the existence of one tefach that is going straight up creates that the slanted part looks like a roof. Now, the case of Hirchika, Rashi explains that what it means is that where I slanted it against the wall, if I distanced it from the wall, one tefach, then it's kosher. From Rashi, you see that you don't need to put schach there, even though your gag is the avir that is in between the schach that you slanted against the wall and the wall. So theoretically, you would think that you have to at least put schach there because that's your gag. Says Rashi, no, it's enough because Lavud is telling us that that is my gag. That's a lashon Rashi. Mirchik roish hasamach lekoisel mi koisel tefach. If you were marchik the top that's next to the koisel from the koisel one tefach voisa smucha al yisedos amrinon Lavud. We say Lavud mi mena ulekoisel b'shavet. The point being that we pretend that the lavud goes horizontally, as opposed to the lavud going diagonally, the way that the schach was going until there. And since the lavud goes horizontally, so you have a gag. So it comes out that Shitas Rashi is that to fulfill the requirement of Rabbi Lezer, who says Mipnei She'ein Lo Gag, the way that you could create a Gag is also through Lovet. It's okay as long as you have what's called a Gag, and the Lovet is capable of providing you with that Gag. Now Tosfos in Dera Maskil She'im learns differently. Tosfos says V'chein Hirchik Min HaKoysel Tefach She'asa B'samach L'Koysel Schach Rachav Tefach. You have to make a Schach that's Rachav Tefach. Even though they admit that mitoich loshen akuntres mashma, the oisit tefach has to be just removed. And if it's made out of avir, it's also good, because it's considered sosum mitam lovud. Tosfos even brings a Yerushalmi that's mashma like Rashi. And the Ran also brings down Rashi and argues, and he says that from Tosfos you see that you have to fill it up. Avir is not considered a gag, even though Lovud makes the avir as if it's closed up, but you cannot create a gag. If the problem is Mnei She'ein La Gag, you cannot fulfill that requirement al yidei Lovud. Now what did Tosfos find in the Yerushalmi that's mashma like Rashi? Because it says in the Yerushalmi, Moider Rebbe Lezer L'chachamim Shem Hoysa Nesuna Al Arba Avonim. If this tent was placed on four stones, Oy Shem Hoysa Gavoya Min Ha'aretz. And actually, the girsa of the Gra is v'hoisa gavoyim in ha'aretz b'seach tefach k'sheira. Now, what's interesting is that Yerushalmi is not talking about the case of hirchik min ha'koysel tefach, rather the case of higbia min ha'karka tefach. There are two things that Rabbi Elazar is moited to. One is if you are marchik, if you remove it from the koysel one tefach, then it has a gag. According to Rashi, they love it, and according to Tosfos, when you fill it up with schach. And the other case is that you picked up, you raised the bottom a tefach. That also gives it the tzura of a gag. Now, the Rishalmi is only talking about that case, that when you raised it, it doesn't have to be anything more than a lovud that creates your one tefach vertical wall. And l'chayru, there is a big makam to be mechalik between these two cases. Because, as we said, you cannot create an oihel al yidei lovud. That makes sense with the roof. A roof that is created solely through lovud is not considered an oihel. Masha'en kein, if the lovud is only creating the part which is a wall, so why wouldn't that help? You could create a mechitza through lovud. The problem with lovud being eligible for an oihel would seem to be a problem more with regards to the top, with regards to the gag. And the truth is that this havchana, this difference between the bottom being al yidei lovud and the top being al yidei lovud, you see in the Rambam. Because the Rambam's lashon in Perek Dalet Halacha Zayin is as follows. Sukkah she'en lo gag psula. So he paskins like Rebbe Lezer. Keitzad. Kigoyin shahayu roshi adefanez devukai zu bezu kemen tzrif. Oy shesomach roish adoifin shel sukkah lekoisel. Those are the two cases that Rebbe Lezer gives. Im hoya lo gag, says the Rambam, afilu tefach. If it had a gag of a tefach, oy shehigbia hadoifen hasamach lekoisel min hakarka tefach, harezuk sheira. So here, the Rambam, when he's explaining the top, what do you have to do? He explains it like Tosfos. You have to create a gag of a tefach on the top. But when he discusses the bottom, he allows you to just raise it one tefach. And that would seem to be because of the svar that we said. You cannot create a gag using lovud, but to use lovud to create the vertical wall, such that now my tzrif does have a din oihel, that shouldn't be a problem. So Tosfos needs explanation, because why couldn't Tosfos think of this chilik? So it would seem that Tosfos goes l'shitasam, because back on Tezayinum at Beis, in Dibar Maskel Pirsu, it was Mavur in Tosfos, and this is Shitsa Tosfos in Shabbos as well, that there is a concept of oihel min hatzad, unlike Rashi over there, who learns that the din of Asiyas oihel is only on the top. Tosfos learns that part of the Shem oihel is created by the mechitza on the side. So if there's a problem, ayidei lovud, to create the top of your oihel, Tosfos understands that hu adin, to create the height of a tefach, there would be a problem, ayidei lovud. You have to have a real oihel, and just as much as the top part is considered a chelik my oihel, so too the wall is called a chelik my oihel. Now the Magen Avram in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Aleph Sifkat and Tetz takes Rashi's Yisoid a step further, and he says even if you weren't marchik the schach from the koisel at all, yet the angle at which you placed it next to the koisel is as such that you have a roich of tefach if you were to draw a line from any point along your slanted wall that's less than three tefachim from the top, because then you still have a gag of a tefach. Because there's no difference between being marchik, the top of my slant, from the koisel, one tefach, and that way you have a gag of a tefach al yidei lavud, or placing it all the way against the wall, but still having lavud a little bit underneath that. And he brings a raya from Hilchas Shabbos and Simen Shintes Vav, Sifyur Aleph, that over there you see that in Hilchas Oyel, when we want to have a gag tefach, so we say that a kilos chasanim, which is a type of bed, it's a canopy, if it has begaga tefach, or bepachas mishloisha samach legaga, there's a reich of tefach, in both of those cases, we consider it as if before Shabbos it already had a gag of a tefach. And the din is that once something has a gag of a tefach, you're allowed to continue spreading the oil around it because it's considered like the oil has already been made from before Shabbos. So he said the same thing would hold true over here, that you don't need dafka, a gag of tefach made out of lavud. It would be enough that within shloisha, from the top, you also have lavud, meaning that it's a tefach removed from the wall at some point within those top three tefachim. The Mishnah says, "Machzelas konim gedoyla asah l'shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'emisach gimbo." If you have a large machzelas, a large mat, then if you made it specifically for the purpose of lying down on, then it's obviously a kli, and since it's a kli, it's mekabelas tuma ve'emisach gimbo. L'sichach, if your intention was l'sichach to use it for schach, misach gimbo ve'enim kabelas tuma. Rebbe Lezer comes along and says, "Achas ketana v'achas gedolah. It makes no difference what size it is. Asar l'shchiva. If your intention was l'shchiva, mekabel es tuma ve'ein misachim bo. L'sichach misachim bo ve'ein mekabel es tuma." As the Gemara explains, l'maskana adaf chof. Everybody in the Mishnah agrees that when you make a machzelas ketana, the stoma de milsa is l'shchiva. That's the derech. It's the derech to make a smaller one l'shchiva. The Tanakama and Rebbe Lezer argue, what about a large one? According to the Tanakama, the stoma de milsa is that when you make a large one, it's l'sichuch, and therefore the person has to specify dafka l'shchiva in order for it to be mekabelas tuma. And Rebbe Lezer holds that even a stam gedoyla is l'shchiva, and when we say asol l'shchiva, we mean stam asiyasa is l'shchiva. So according to the Tanakhama, a large one is only pasul for schach if you had intentions, you made it dafka l'shchiva. And according to Rebbe Lezer, it's pasul even if you didn't have any specific intention. The only way that it could be kosher, according to Rebbe Lezer, is if you made it bedafka l'sichuch. Rashi over here in Dibur Maschur Belezer Oimer, he says, "Begemar mefarish maika amri." The Gemara is going to explain what exactly the machloikis is. And Rashi explains why there's a problem. He says, "The heicha de parish behedya l'shchiva oy l'sichuch." If the person was mefarish behedya, he explicitly said, "I want to do it l'shchiva or l'sichuch," vade ein chilik beim gedoy l'ktana. There cannot be a difference. Da pirish, because the person specified. That means even something which is stama l'sichuch, if the person said, "I want it to be l'shchiva," then it's mekabel tuma. And so too, if it's stama de milsa is l'shchiva, if everybody does this thing l'shchiva, and the person was mefarish, "I want it l'sichuch," then it's not mekabel tuma, you can be mesachich with it. However, the Rosh says that if you have something that's stama l'shchiva, roiv people to make it l'shchiva, l'mashal a katana, everybody usually makes it l'shchiva. Even if the person was pirish lehedya l'sichuch, you still should not be mesachich with it, because he says, "Mi yodeya sha'amr l'uman l'sakne lo l'sichuch." Who knows that he told the uman to do it dafka l'sichuch? V'asu kuliyam l'schuchiba. People see a machzelas ketana, which the derech is to make it l'shchiva, so it looks like the person took a mat, which is made for sleeping, and put it on top of his sukkah. It means that the Rosh holds that there's a gzeira mishum marasayin. However, the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, brought down by the Rosh, argues in this, and he holds that it would help the Mimefarish, even Keneged the Minuk. The base mayor in Simen Tafresh Choftes says that the Mashmos of the Ran and the Rambam is that they argue on this Gzeira of the Rosh, and that's why the Mechaber does not bring down the din of the Rosh. The Ramah actually does mention it over there in Siv Vav, but he understands that the Mechaber is not willing to accept this Gzeira. And like we said, the Lashon of Rashi is very much mashmer that he doesn't agree to this gzeira, because Rashi would have said that if he was mefarish lehedya, it depends what the minig is. Now, how does the Rosh, who holds of this gzeira, how does he explain the Lashon of the Mishnah? The Mishnah just says, "Asar l'shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'emisachim ba." The Mishnah doesn't tell us anything about the minig. So the Ramah and the Bach understand that the Rush would learn that the Mishnah, when it says Asar L'Shchiva, it means that in that place, people make it L'Shchiva, and that's their intention. So that's goofy what the Mishnah means. Mashenkin the Taz, in Sivkot and Zion, he says that the Mishnah has to be talking about a place where there is no clear-cut minhag. Because in such a place, the Rush is Moida, that it's dependent on the person's Das. The Mishnah Berurah actually points out over there in Sivkot and Yud Zayin that the Shita of the Rush really does sometimes result in a Kula. Because let's say a person makes a Machzelah Stama, or we don't know if he did it L'Sichach or L'Shchiva, and Roiv of the people make it L'Sichach, so then we're Toila that he also made a L'Sichach, because we go after the Minug. Masha'en Kain, if you hold that you don't go after the Minug, then we wouldn't have the right to be Toila that this person did it L'Shem Sichach. Tosfos in Divrei Maschil L'Sichach Misachichim Bo Ve'Einu Mekabelas Tuma says the following. Tosfos says the Kol HaYotze Min HaEitz Einu Mitamei Tuma Seholim Elo Pishton. Nothing that comes out from a tree is Mitamei Tuma Seholim except for Pishton the Afinu Mimishkan Perek Bameh Madlikin. What is Tosfos coming to address? Tosfos seemingly is bothered by the question that even though the Machzelis is not Mekabel Tuma Mitoris Kli, because you're not using it L'Shchiva, it's only L'Sichach, but it should be Mekabel Tumas Oil. It should have Kabbalah's Tuma Midin Oil. And Tosfos says, no, Tumas Eholim also doesn't apply to anything that comes out of the ground except for Pishtan. The Sfasemis asks that Tosfos should have asked on all sukkahs. Every single sukkah should have Tumas Oil. And Tosfos could give the teretz that they gave over here that you don't have tumas oil by anything that comes out of the ground except for pishtun. So why is Tosfos asking the question over here? And I believe that the answer may be that it's only over here that we're talking about a machzelis. Since you wove together the schach into a machzelis, it has a shem oil. Masha'en kein, if you just put wood on top of your sukkah and you're not mechaber the wood to each other, then there's no havamina that it would have tumas eholim. Because Tosfos understands that in order to have Tumas Eholim, the wall, the ceiling has to be connected to each other. Then the top, the thing that you spread on top, has a Shem Oil. That's why Tosfos has to ask the Kasha Dafka over here. Tosfos gives the Teretz that Tumas Eholim doesn't apply to anything that's Yotz Min HaEitz except for Pishta.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.